Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Philippians. Now to Pastor Chris.
Welcome back, friends. Philippians chapter 3 today, and the attack of the joy killers. Chapter 3 is a warning against a joyless and miserable sort of Christianity. How is it that Christianity makes some people joyful, kind-hearted, and awesome to be around, and turns others into judgmental, self-righteous trolls? Chapter 3 has the answer and the solution. Let's start in verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Stop there. I like this command. Rejoice. Remember, Philippians is a joyful book, but it's not about joy. Joy is just a result. The book is much more about how you think, a mindset, an attitude. Chapter 2 was a call to unity by thinking of others above yourself. That's humility. It's the Jesus attitude, and it is a joyful way to think. So chapter 3 starts with a call to rejoice, but then a warning. There is another mindset that can steal your joy faster than the Hamburglar steals hamburgers. What is it? Verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Now, when Paul says to watch out for dogs, he's not talking about my little terrier, George McDuff. These are rabid dogs, sharp fangs, and a vicious disease that's ready to infect. And the disease is self-righteousness. Righteousness means doing the right thing and standing rightly before God. Self-righteousness, then, means making myself right by my works, my strength, my self. Now, the problem with self-righteousness is that it destroys all of that beautiful humility and joy you just got in chapter 2. You can't be self-righteous and others-centered. Try to climb your way to heaven, and you'll step on too many friends on the way up, and you'll look down with scorn at all the folks at the bottom. It's a miserable sort of Christianity, wavering between pride, guilt, and judgmentalism. And it's a false humility. Anything focused on self is not humble. Now, how it happens is legalism, following rules instead of following Jesus. Nearly every epistle warns against the serious danger of legalism, plus the entire book of Galatians, so please watch out. Now, the big rule that these guys were about was circumcision. That's why Paul calls them mutilators of the flesh. So in verse 3, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Paul reminds us that God doesn't want us to serve him by following a big checklist of do's and don'ts. Jesus said that the Father is seeking those who worship in spirit and in truth. And the key here is where you put your confidence. Self-confidence may seem like a good idea, but remember, Goliath was self-confident. David, on the other hand, was God-confident. And when it comes to being good, self-confidence won't work. As Paul says, we put no confidence in the flesh. Now, if anyone were going to be self-confident or self-righteous, Paul was the guy. Or I should say Saul, before he was a Christian. Saul was the man, followed every last rule down to the minutia. In verse 5, Paul lays out all of his self-credentials, his whole self-righteous resume. He worked hard for it. But then, in verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss, for the sake of Christ. Paul says he gave it all up to get Jesus. Watch the words he uses, gain and loss. These are accounting terms. Gains are income, positive, adding to my total. Losses are, well, lost, negative. Investment didn't pay off, leave it and move on. Paul says, everything I once listed in my gain column, all my self-righteous works, I took the whole lot and shoved it into the loss column. Why? To make room for just one in the gain column, Jesus. This is the great trade. Life in Christ is one massive trade-in. Many things you give up, many things you gain. I like to compare it to the game of life. Remember that game? You're playing life, and all the kids are bickering and arguing and cheating, all to get fake money in a worthless game. And then your dad walks in, and he whispers in your ear, for every dollar in play money that you give away, I'll give you a real dollar when the game's over. Anything you give away in the game, I'll match it in reality. Suddenly, everything changes. Suddenly, the game is a joy. That is what following Jesus is like. Only the game is this life, and the reality is heaven. Philippians is all about that big trade. In chapter 1, we traded this life for the next, to die is gain. In chapter 2, we traded self-centered life for others-centered life. And here in chapter 3, we trade self-righteousness for Jesus' righteousness. And for Paul, the best part of that trade was knowing Jesus. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul is quite happy with his trade. And watch his words. Three times he says, I consider. It's not just the trade he made, it's how he thinks about that trade, what he values. Now the central part of the trade is at the end of verse 9, trading his own righteousness for the one that comes by faith in Jesus. That's how it works. Faith in Jesus, and God calls you righteous. Reminds me of a story. I used to have a dog tag that simply said Jesus on it. Mostly I thought it was cool. But then one day, it made sense. In a war, a dog tag is how they identify you when you die. So when I die, whose name do I want on my tag? Do I want my name with my past and my righteousness? Or do I want Jesus? I only get one. Now I like that analogy, but there's one thing missing. It's not just Jesus' name on me, it's Jesus with me. I get to know Jesus. This is what Paul was really after. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's words here are passionate. This is the cry of Paul's heart. I want to know Jesus. Not just know about, know personally. I want resurrection, raise this dying life. Please listen. If your Christianity is all knowing about Jesus, trying to follow his rules, you're missing the entire point. I want to know Christ. There's one phrase in verse 10 that really gets me. Sharing in his sufferings. Sufferings. But that's how real friendship works. We go through it together. That's the life that we traded for. When Jesus suffers, we're with him. When we suffer, he's with us. And the hard times make us close. We suffer with him, we die with him, and we are raised with him. And then Paul breaks, and he gets very honest. Verse 12 basically says, listen, I know I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect, but I press on. I love that phrase. Press on. Like Psalm 63, my soul follows hard after you. Listen, the day you were saved was not the finish line. It was the start. A.W. Tozer says that we have mistakenly put all of our focus on that moment of salvation, as if the rest is all a downhill ride. There is a great goal ahead, and you do not simply roll into it by gravity. So press on. Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul's words here are emphatic. Press, strain, take hold. So how about you? Are you pressing on? Understand, it is my job to teach you, but it is your job to ask, seek, and knock. Another quote from Tozer that really struck me. How tragic that we in this dark day have had our seeking done for us by our teachers. And with that in mind, read Philippians 3 for yourself today. Consider your own tables of gain and loss. If your gain column is overstuffed with self-centered or self-righteous deeds and goals that kill your joy and leave you empty, has Jesus got a trade-in offer for you?
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.